So often when I'm going through a book, I seem to drag the chain a bit. It seems to take an extended period of time to get through it. We're looking through the book of Acts in Sunday school at the moment, so I'm continuing to teach from there. So it's, Acts chapter 10 is what we're looking at tonight, Acts chapter 10. We'll be looking at this man named Cornelius, and we'll be looking at Timothy, are the main two people here. So Acts chapter 10. Before we begin, let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you for this day. We thank you, Lord, for your mercy toward us. We thank you for the Lord Jesus, that he died on the cross to pay for our sins. Lord, that he rose again and that we serve a living Saviour. Lord, we thank you for your mercy toward us. Lord, we know that we're unable and unworthy, Lord, to be called the sons of God, Lord, through any means of our own. It was only by your mercy, Lord, your grace, that you saved us. We thank you and praise you for it. Help us, Lord, to learn as we look at the book of Acts, as we look at a couple of different people here, Cornelius and Peter. I pray, Lord, help us to understand what's going on here, and Lord, that we might learn, glean from it, be reminded of some things. I pray, Lord, that you would speak to our hearts, Lord, and just bring home a message for each one of us, that we might be accountable to you, that we might put into practice the things that we can learn. Help us, Lord, to become more like our Lord Jesus Christ. I pray, Lord, that as we leave this place, that, Lord, we might really know that you are with us, that, Lord, we aren't here to do our own will, but yours, because we've been bought with a price. And I pray, Lord, that you would see fit to use us, cleanse us from our sin, use us to glorify your name, to lift it high, Lord, because we know that if Christ be lifted up, then he'll draw all men unto himself. Lord, we pray that you would use us for your glory. We pray, Lord, speak to our hearts this evening in Jesus' name. Amen. Acts chapter 10. This morning we went through Acts chapter 9, and it's when Saul was, he was still called Saul, and we started out the very chapter and in verse 1, and Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest. So he was a man who had a purpose. In his heart, though, it was the wrong purpose, but he had a purpose nevertheless. But he was breathing out threatenings. Who's ever been threatened? I think we probably all have with one thing or another. But he was also breathing out slaughter. Those threatenings were not only to be spat on, but slaughter. It was pretty strong. In chapter 8 and verse 1, you'll see a very similar thing. You'll see that it was he killed Stephen. He was the one in charge of those who threw the stones at Stephen. So this man, Saul, he was very determined to stop Christianity, anyone who preached Christ. Yet on the road to Damascus in chapter 9, we see that he met the Lord and the Lord flipped his life. And so chapter 9, we saw that his name was changed to Paul, the Lord used him in a mighty way in those few years right there. We learnt about when he went to Damascus, then he went on a trip to Arabia and then came back to Damascus. Today we'll be talking about Cornelius, a man who was not a Jew, and Peter is the one who's spoken about here. Actually, the end part of the previous chapter, we mentioned how Peter, he had faith, he was back on the scene there, and he actually met up with this man, Aeneas, and said to this man who'd been sick of the palsy and kept his bed for 8 years, he said in the previous chapter in verse 34, Peter said unto him, Aeneas, Jesus Christ maketh thee whole, arise and make thy bed. And he arose immediately. And Peter wasn't going to say that without faith. And we understand that faith is what allows us to believe, or it is the belief in Jesus Christ that saves us. It's a saving faith, but then also faith Christians need to continue on in their walk with God. And you won't be used by God if you don't learn to trust Jesus Christ. Faith comes by what? Sorry? Hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And so the more we know the Word of God and allow that to penetrate our lives, the more we learn to trust God in many different matters of our lives, the more we'll have faith. You see, Peter was a man of faith to be able to tell this person, get up and walk, make your bed. And then just a few verses down, you see, then there was this person who had died, Dorcas, and Peter again, he was actually brought in, he was the neighbouring town, they went and got him quickly, come. So he comes and he sends everyone out of the room and tells this woman to arise, Tabitha, arise, that's Dorcas's other name. And so she was brought alive to these other people. So again, it takes faith, or he wouldn't have gone and done that. You know, when we pray, it takes faith to even ask Jesus Christ something. Now, you'll even notice that when Peter was in prison one time, and the saints were in this room, and they were all praying for him, and then all of a sudden there was earthquake and Peter was released. Okay, and then so what does he do? He goes and knocks on this door. And they say, Peter's at the door. And this damsel goes and runs, gets the others. It's Peter that's at the door. And they said, no, can't be. Yeah, it was. And then he continues knocking. I find that quite humorous myself. But they were praying for something, yet they sort of didn't believe it was going to happen for the release of Peter. Okay, and sometimes we pray, not totally believing, but it does take a certain amount of faith to even ask to start with. And I think sometimes the Lord is merciful, and sometimes our faith needs to be stronger than what it is, but faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Let's draw close to the Lord and learn to trust Him, because the more we trust Him, the Lord will have bigger things on the agenda for us to learn to trust Him even more, and more, and more. Okay. That was this morning's a little bit. But anyway, chapter 10. There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian band. Just from that, I suppose that he was probably Italian. I don't know for sure, but likely. A devout man and one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. Now, it's interesting. I tend to think he likely was not a Christian yet, right? And for later in the chapter, you'll see. Now, I could be wrong there. But here, I want you to notice, he was a devout man, he feared God with all his house, and gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. If he didn't know the Lord yet, I believe he had a seeking heart. What does the Bible tell us? If you seek me with all your heart, you shall find me, right? And I believe that he had a seeking heart. He saw a vision evidently about the ninth hour of the day, evidently about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God coming to him and saying unto him, Cornelius. And when he looked on him, he was afraid and said, What is it, Lord? And he said unto him, Thy prayers and thine alms are come up for a memorial before God. That's interesting, isn't it? Here, it was his prayers and his alms. Doesn't mean he was waving arms, different sort of arms. Arms as in good works. These good works come up before God. God looked at these good deeds that he was doing and his prayers for a memorial. That means something that was remembered by God. Okay? It was remembered by God. He must have had his heart in the right spot, even if he didn't have it quite on the right spot, right? Because God saw it as a memorial, brought up as a memorial unto God. And it says in verse 5, this is a command from God, He says, "And now send men to Joppa and call for one Simon, whose surname is Peter. He lodgeth with one Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the seaside." Joppa is on the seaside, it says. But it's on the western side, on the coast there. "He shall tell thee what thou oughtest to do." And when the angel which spake unto Cornelius was departed, he called two of his household servants and a devout soldier of them that waited on him continually. And when he had declared all these things unto him, he sent them to Joppa. On the morrow, as they went on their journey, this is the men sent by Cornelius, and drew nigh unto the city, Peter went up upon the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. And he became very hungry and would have eaten, but while they made ready, he fell into a trance. That's interesting. Second vision that we see here in this chapter. "And he saw heaven opened, and a certain vessel descending unto him, as it had been a great sheet, knit at the four corners, and let down to the earth, wherein were all manner of four-footed beasts of the earth, and wild beasts, and creeping things, and fowls of the air. And there came a voice to him, Rise, Peter, kill and eat. But Peter said, Not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean." Just a few things I'm going to stop there for two ticks. Can we please turn back to chapter 2 and verse 17? Acts 2 and 17. What's been happening in the book of Acts? It's a time, Pentecost was a time when the Holy Spirit of God came upon the people. It was the beginning of the church age. And in Acts chapter 2, where it happens, you can read, sorry, I still haven't got it. I turned too far back. Right, you can see in about verse 8 and following, you can see the number of names or places, these Jews which came from different Gentile nations had come for the Passover, and they heard the people speaking in their own tongue from wherein they were born, these Gentile nations. I believe it was a warning to the Jews that God was going to turn from the Jews to the Gentiles and give them the gospel, right? Because the Jews had largely rejected it. And so there's all the names of the places in verses 9 and 10 and 11. Verse 12, "And they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, What meaneth this? Others mocking said, These men are full of new wine. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, You men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words, for these are not drunken, as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day, but this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel." And we could read it here, or we could actually go to Joel chapter 2, which we'll do that. Joel chapter 2, look at verse 28. Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah. So it's a couple of books after Daniel. Joel 2 and verse 28. "And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your old men shall dream dreams, your young men shall see visions. And also upon the servants and upon the handmaids in those days will I pour out my spirit." He keeps on going a little bit further, but when you look over here, that's what he tells us in Acts chapter 2. And he says, this is what's going on. It's not that they're drunken. It's only the third hour of the day. He says, this is what Joel was speaking about those many years ago. He says, And it shall come to pass in the last day, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Now, I believe that Joel, when he was prophesying this, he was prophesying it of the end times. But the end times back then was to do with this here too. But it also included some things that we have not yet seen. Peter spoke about it here in Acts 2. And on my servants and on my handmaidens, I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy, and I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in earth beneath. These things are also in that same passage of Joel. Blood and fire and vapor of smoke, the sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before that great and notable day of the Lord come. Why I mention this too is because oftentimes things that are seen from the prophet's point of view seem to cover a stretched out period of time. And if you bundle them all in right together, it doesn't quite make sense. And I believe that's where Matthew 24 can be a little bit, there's actually, I think, three of the Gospels that's got a similar sort of passage. Things are not necessarily all bundled together, but they're put, these things will happen. And so there are some spaces in between it. But here, in the time of Peter, I believe that was a time when God used visions and dreams and things for a specific purpose. He also used gave the apostles power over demons and healing, like Peter, we learnt in the previous in chapter 9. He had power to be able to heal a man in the name of Jesus Christ, and he had power to raise this woman to life again. Okay, it's in the name of Jesus Christ. And you'll find that in about chapter 4, where he raised the other man who'd been impotent for, he'd been unable to walk for over 40 years from his birth, and he was over 40 years old. Then, because of such a great miracle, and everyone ran together and he preached unto them Christ, and there was 5,000 people saved once, and there was 3,000 another time. Because of all of this, and the chief priests were getting jealous, and some other people were wondering what's going on, he says, why look ye upon us as though by our power we have done this miracle? No, this is the one who you have crucified and put on the cross. It's by his name, he's the one who made this man walk. Right? So he's giving the glory to the Lord Jesus. And here, also, these miracles were done so that those who are beholding can see that these things were of God, right? And it was a beginning of a special era, a special time period when the church was to be boosted and helped along by the Lord himself. So here, we'll continue on back to Acts chapter 10, verse 11. So Peter, he fell in a trance in verse 10. Verse 11, and saw heaven opened and a certain vessel descending, as it had been a great sheet knit together, and they had those animals on there. When God told him, rise, Peter, kill and eat, this voice came to him. He says, not so, for I've never eaten anything that is common or unclean. Now, very interesting. There's a lot of things that God says don't eat in the scriptures. There was actually a lot of reasons for a lot of people not eating certain things. We'll see, if we looked in Genesis 2 and verse 17, you'd see that there was a tree in the midst of the garden, and God said, thou shalt not eat of it, if you eat thereof, in the day you eat thereof, you shall surely die. In chapter 3, you'll see that Satan twisted that a bit. He says, hasn't God said, thou shalt not, if you eat of it, you're going to die. You can't eat of it, and he said something about it, you can't touch it either. Okay, he added a little bit. And usually, if the devil's in it, he doesn't say it straight. He says it with a twist. And you know what? Rat poison's got 99.7% something or other percent good food. It's got 0.0 something percent, whatever the poison is, and I don't remember it off the top of my head. Somebody might know. But it's the same as the devil. He will add truth in with the error. Okay? So, did you know that truth plus error equals error every time? Okay? Be careful. Don't just swallow the lot without chewing it over. To make sure that it's God's word, it is truth. So he said, I don't want to eat. The other things, some other things that God has told Israel not to eat. He says, life with the blood thou shalt not eat. He says, there was a couple of times Abraham's servant wouldn't eat until his errand was told, but he wasn't told to do that. That was just something that he did. The children of Israel wouldn't eat the sinew that shrank. You know how Jacob, he wrestled with that angel. So that meant after that he walked around with a limp. And for that reason, Israel, the children of Israel, wouldn't eat of the sinews of the animal, this particular sinew, because of that incident. The Passover lamb was not to be eaten raw. The beasts in Leviticus 11, there was a whole lot of clean and unclean animals that God said, these are the ones you can eat, these ones you can't. The whole chapter is full of these different animals. I don't know the exact reason why certain animals were classed as unclean and others were classed as clean. Maybe it might be healthier for you to eat ones that aren't scavengers, right? And that's picked up the dead, you know, chased the dead chooks and rabbits and so on and eaten the scum off the ground. So I don't know if that's all it is. I know pigs, they're a bit of a scavenger. I've seen them rip open dead kangaroos that we've thrown over to them, and they've had their intestines draped from one end of the paddock to the other end of the paddock, and just lovely stuff, you know. They are a bit of a scavenger, as well as they eat a lot of grain and that as well. Foxes, can you imagine eating them? Okay, but there's other things too that aren't scavengers that he says are unclean for different reasons. I wouldn't be surprised if it comes back to this point here that we're about to read. Maybe, maybe not, but we'll read it all the same. So in Leviticus 11, there's also Deuteronomy 14 spells out the clean and unclean animals as well. We're told in the end days that the lion will lay down with the lamb, in other words, it won't eat it, right? So there's just a few things that are not to be eaten or aren't eaten. Back to chapter 10, Acts chapter 10, when Peter said, not so, Lord, for I've never eaten anything that is common or unclean. Verse 15, and the voice spake to him again the second time, what God hath cleansed, that call not thou common. This was done thrice, and the vessel was received up again into heaven. Can you imagine? Peter had never eaten anything that was common or unclean. He's been eating as he was supposed to as a Jew. None of the unclean animals, just the clean ones. And he was keeping the law in doing so. But here, this vision, the sheet let down from heaven, all manner of unclean animals on it, and the voice tells him to eat it. He says, not so, Lord. I haven't ever eaten of anything common or unclean. Three times he said that. Three times the reply came, what God has cleansed, call not thou common or unclean. Now, that's very interesting because we can apply that to ourselves. Because we were unclean. We were dead in our trespasses and our sins. Okay, and actually, you're not to touch a dead person because they're unclean, yeah, in the law, in the Levitical law as well. And so therefore, if we are dead in our trespasses and sins, we are totally unclean to God. Right? But yet what God has cleansed, call not thou unclean. Now, in the Jews' mind, they had a mind that They were God's chosen people, which, yes, they were God's chosen people and still are. And the Gentiles, they were castaways. Now, it's interesting because this man who also was sent to Peter, he was not a Jew. We'll keep reading there. Now, in verse 17, now while Peter doubted in himself what this vision which he had seen should mean, behold, the men which were sent from Cornelius had made inquiry for Simon's house and stood before the gate and called and asked whether Simon, which was surnamed Peter, were lodged there. While Peter thought on the vision, because he'd just seen the vision right then, right? When these people come. When he thought on the vision, the Spirit said unto him, behold, three men seek thee. Arise therefore and get thee down and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. Ooh. Then Peter went down to the men which were sent unto him from Cornelius and said, behold, I am he whom you seek. What is the cause whereof ye are come? And they said, listen to this, and listen to the rapport they had on Cornelius. And they said, Cornelius, the centurion, a just man, and one that feareth God, and of good report among all the nation of the Jews, was warned from God by an holy angel to send for thee into this house and to hear words of thee. I find it interesting that the person who was in charge of these men coming down had a good report even amongst the Jews, right? I think maybe God used that in order to also allow Peter to soften his heart to going and speaking with them. He was a man who was a Gentile, yet these men came. Peter, what does he do? He gets up and goes with them. Verse 23, then called he them in and lodged them, and on the morrow Peter went away with them, and certain brethren from Joppa accompanied him. And the morrow after, they entered into Caesarea, that's going northward. And Cornelius waited for them and had called together his kinsmen and near friends. So Cornelius has got quite a group of people that he has to do with. And he called them all to hear this word from God that this man was about to bring them. Remember, Cornelius was a man who feared God. We saw that in the second verse. He's a devout man, one that feared God with all his house, gave much alms to the people. He was a giver and prayed to God always. That's the sort of people that God looks for, right? A person who has a heart for him. Let's have a heart for him, be usable to the Lord. Let's not see life as an opportunity for gain in the back pocket. Let's see it as an opportunity to serve our God who saved us from our sin. Because our God is the one who needs the glory, okay? Now, verse 25, and as Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshipped him. Oh, mistake, hey. I don't think he knew who he was to worship, right? He fell down and worshipped Peter. But Peter took him up, saying, stand up, I myself also am a man. And as he talked with him, he went in and found many that were come together. And he said unto them, ye know how that it is an unlawful thing for a man that is a Jew to keep company or come unto one of another nation. From that, I think you can pretty much say that this man had to be a Gentile, right? So Peter's even telling him, you know that I'm not supposed to talk with you guys, is what he's saying, right? a man that is a Jew is not supposed to keep company with, come unto one of another nation. But God has showed me that I should not call any man common or unclean. Therefore came I unto you without gainsaying. As soon as I was sent for, okay, so notice, therefore, it was a pretty straightaway action. He didn't wait around for a long period of time. It was the following day, I think it was. They stopped for one day and then he went. So he came straight away.
I ask therefore for what intent you have sent for me. And Cornelius said, 4 days ago I was fasting until this hour, and at the ninth hour I prayed in my house, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing, and said, Cornelius, thy prayer is heard, and thine alms are had in remembrance in the sight of God. Is God going to say that about us? We got a heart for people and a heart for God. This man did have the things that we do, not for show, but the things that we do with a right heart are known before God. Alms are something that as good deeds towards people. And he continues on, send therefore to Joppa and call hither Simon, whose surname is Peter. He is lodged in the house of one Simon, a tanner by the seaside, who, when he cometh, he shall speak unto thee. Immediately, therefore, I sent unto thee, and thou hast well done that thou art come. Now, therefore, are we all here present before God to hear all things that are commanded thee of God? Then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. He'd been shown pretty plainly. But in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. That word, I say, ye know, which was published throughout all Judea, and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that was oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. Him God raised up the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but unto witnesses chosen before of God, even to us, who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of quick and dead. To him gave all the prophets witness that through his name, whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. Wow. Doesn't that sound like John 3:16 over again? Okay. Whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. What does it say, John 3:16? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word. So here's Cornelius and this whole group, and the Holy Spirit falls on them. Why? Because they believed Jesus Christ. They believed on him. That's why I say he likely wasn't saved to start with. But he had a heart, obviously, towards God. And the Bible tells us that those who seek God, that he will help them to find him. I did have it written down somewhere. An Old Testament verse that says it. Okay, it's Jeremiah 29 and verse 13. Jeremiah 29 and verse 13, it says, and ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart. And he says, and I will be found of you, saith the Lord, and I will turn away your captivity. This is talking in particular to the Jews, right? When they would turn back to him, they would be found of him. But you know, it's the same with us. But we need to seek him with all our heart, not be half-hearted, but to search for him with all our heart. So it's interesting here. The Holy Ghost fell on them which heard the word. What does Romans 10:14 say? We did mention it earlier. I've forgotten this, how it starts now. Sorry. Do you want to read out nice and loud?
they have fallen here and whom they have not believed, and how shall they believe in him and whom they have not believed? And how shall they hear without preaching?
Right. Okay. So how can they believe? How can they call on him whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe on him whom they have not heard? Okay? So the people outside this room, how shall they believe on him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? That doesn't mean somebody standing in front of the pulpit. This is not getting the gospel message to the people out there. That's talking about you people. How shall I hear without a preacher? Somebody to tell them and explain to them about the Lord Jesus. Like Philip did with the Ethiopian eunuch. He was sent by God. Go there. And he went. Okay? Acts has got a lot of different stories in it. Things that happen. And the way that God used different people in a marvelous way. It's very encouraging to read through and see how God used these different people. How he used Stephen to prick Saul of Tarsus. It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. How did he use Philip, the Ethiopian eunuch, and then multiple other people? When all of a sudden he'd finished with the eunuch, they came out of the water, all of a sudden Philip disappears and he's found at Azotus. And just bang, he's there. Well, I find that's up the coast a bit. And the way that he was told to come was from Jerusalem down to Gaza. And then he met the Ethiopian eunuch on that travel. But then God sent him on his way and he's up the coast a bit. I think that stopped him from going back the same way he came. And you find that he goes up then, preaching as he went, all the way up to Caesarea in many different villages. So I think that God had a reason for shifting him on too. So sometimes we don't understand why God does things, but he's got his plan there. He knows the big picture. Going back to Acts chapter 10. I had the wrong page there. What verse did I get up to? To preach unto the people, 45. Okay, we're nearly there. And they of the circumcision, which believed, were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. Now, right there is a very interesting thing. Because in Acts chapter 2, when you go back to Acts chapter 2, and you look at these Gentile languages that everyone was hearing where they were born, the wonderful works of God. Here you find basically where, you know, that was sort of like a warning to the Jews, if you don't ship shape, I'm going to use the Gentile language, use the Gentiles. Here we find that God is turning to the Gentiles and he's using these Gentiles and giving them the gift of the Holy Spirit as well. So he's there using them. And they were going to be baptized as well. Verse 46, for they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then answered Peter, can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then prayed they him to tarry certain days. So God used these Gentiles, and you know what? He's still using them today. It was the beginning of the church age, right there in the book of Acts. And he's using the church age, but someday he's going to turn back to the Jews, and they're going to be the ones who are preaching the gospel to the rest of the world. You know what? The seven-year period of tribulation, who's that against? That's actually God pouring out his wrath on the nations for their rejection of him. The Gentile nations have basically rejected the Lord. And you can see the animosity growing worldwide for the people of God. So God knows the big picture and he's written it out here in his word. But I find it still very encouraging to see how God used these people who allowed the Holy Spirit to work in and through their lives. So I hope that's been a blessing to you as it has been for me. Let's close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you that you are our God and that you know all things from the beginning to the end. Lord, we can't change your plan, but Lord, we can call upon you and you do answer us. And Lord, you choose to use us that your name be glorified. Lord, you've told us that we've been bought with a price, the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, and we are not our own. Help us, Lord, to glorify you, Lord, in our body and in our spirits, which are yours. We thank you and praise you for your word, the direction it gives. Lord, the peace that comes, Lord, when we know that you are in control. We thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.